I'm Joshua, here with my wife Leela. This is the Betrothal Guys podcast. Today we're talking about why we did not date when we moved towards marriage in our own marriage. I was raised through a variety of different types of churches. I think probably courtship would have been the standard in the last church we were in when I was in my early teens. And so with courtship, that was usually a parents involved type of intentional dating, get to know each other, spend time chaperoned, usually in each other's houses.
Yeah, not going out to eat necessarily. It was a lot more of let's all sit around the dinner table with our family.
And so that was probably the main thing going on in the circles that I was in as I was in those early dating availability, thinking about marriage years in my late teens and early 20s. But also in my late teens, I encountered a tract that was also promoting a different kind of not even courtship, of more of a betrothal-minded thing, of going back to more of the biblical system. And that had a big influence on me. I didn't really run into I'm ready to get married, I'm ready to court or get betrothed or date or any of that until later in my 20s, and by then I had formed some real ideas about how I wanted to go about it.
So the tract you found was not even promoting courting. It was more conservative, would you say? A more conservative approach?
Yeah, you could say that. It was going to almost putting covenant first instead of any experimental, you know, figure out who the other person is, what they're like by in-person interaction. It was more find someone who is going to be a good spouse by reputation or maybe by talking to your parents. I don't think it really mentioned talking to God about it, although as my views formed, I started realizing that had to be a major factor as well. So it was kind of conservative in that way. It had the idea that covenant should start before the getting to know and the major part of the relationship.
I think even if we had been into dating, we would have had trouble because you lived so far away from me. We would not have been able to date traditionally.
It would have had to been something remote in order to make that work. Yeah.
So anyway, my family's background, the way I was raised, I grew up watching, you know, the usual movies and stuff. And I think my parents did a good job. We would watch the movie and we would talk about how ridiculous some of the people were acting about their boyfriends and girlfriends and how poor choices they were making in their dating these people or in the way people they were picking. So I already was looking at dating from a critical point of view to see, you know, what makes sense, what doesn't, what's wise, what's foolish. I read we were being homeschooled. That's important to know.
Both of us were homeschooled.
We were already prepared to look at society and go, what is making sense about this? What doesn't? Because we don't have to do what they're doing. So that already helped us to step away from dating or take a step back at least and go, what about this is making sense and what isn't? And what do we really want to do? As Christian homeschoolers especially, we go, well, we have no problem with saying if it's not matching biblical principles, we're not going to do it. So we were taking a step back and looking at that. I think my parents also were accepting the idea that courtship was probably better. I mean, obviously more parental input is biblical because if you look in the Bible, it's always talking about parents being involved in the marriages one way or another. So they saw that as being, okay, that probably makes sense then. And their own experience would say it makes sense because they had done dating themselves and they didn't really recommend it. So they're going, well, we certainly don't like what we did. And courtship sounds pretty good, so we'll probably do that. And my older brother actually did something pretty standard courtship-wise. If you look up anything about courtship in the early 90s or whatever, that's probably would describe my brother.
As far as what is Christian dating, and you know, maybe a definition of what we didn't do, Christian dating, I would say, is getting together, male and female, to go out, to go to some event together, with the intent of building a relationship. And then if that relationship builds to a certain point, then start considering marriage, maybe get engaged, and then get married. We're not talking about the additions of fornication to that you'll see in the secular world. When we're talking about the dating that we didn't want to do, we are talking about the relationship building and not just the off-limits physical stuff that also goes on.
Yeah. we hope that most Christians realize that the physical aspect that a lot of people have in their dating is not at all appropriate to the life that's given to Christ. So we'll just go with Christians, we think, should know that already. So it doesn't involve that aspect already. And then the rest of it is, you know, gray area for Christians. We debate among ourselves a lot about what is allowed and what's not allowed from there with a non-spouse. Obviously, we took the more conservative route. Though some people listening may not know our whole story, but we do have our whole testimony on our website, and you can either watch it on YouTube or read it on the website. But we definitely went completely countercultural, I would say.
Yeah, and just briefly, kind of what we did. It started from my side. My parents recommended Leela to me. I prayed about it. Felt like the father said yes. So the first thing I did was talk to her father about it, not to her about it. And he prayed about it, and he said yes, and he told Leela about it, and then she spent some time praying about it, and ultimately also said yes. And then what we did was, pretty quickly after that, we put together our ceremony where we actually spoke our wedding vows to each other, our betrothal ceremony. From there, we built our relationship, going from pretty much strangers to very light acquaintances. We'd spoken a couple sentences to each other when we were, you know, exchanging goods or something like that, but not nothing like a friendship going into it. And so we actually built that friendship that built into our relationship, into our marriage relationship, within the covenant that we had made with each other, where we had made the 100% commitment before, you know, to each other and before God and witnesses that we were husband and wife.
So before we got betrothed, that's what we call, for lack of a better word, getting betrothed is making the marriage covenant. Before we did that with each other, the extent of our interaction was we had played volleyball with, you know, a group. We're at a group camp out. We'd play volleyball on the same team. Mm-hmm. So there was that sort of interaction. We had played like group games around campfires, like charades. Mm-hmm. We were not really young, but you know, we were still hanging out with our younger siblings and stuff. Right. I remember one time there was a marketplace. They called it a marketplace where we all set up our tables and sold the things that we make and stuff at this campground, this camp out. And you, talked to me to buy something I was selling. Yep. Yep. And then when we went to visit your family, my family was his family, we went to tour a park, one of the national parks, and he rode with our family to tell us which direction to take and stuff. And so I heard him directing that and telling us what we were looking at and stuff in the park.
And all of that was before my parents talked to me about, and gave me that recommendation to start with. And then after I had talked to her dad, and after the offer is on the table, over the course of, I guess that would have been a little over a month from then to our actual commitment to each other, there were some emails that went back and forth. But again, still not something that most people would consider a relationship or, you know, a whole bunch or a friendship that had developed. When we made that betrothal covenant, it was a step of faith and trusting that the father really had his plans were really going to work out.
Yeah. I mean, we could have tried to become more close. And once you realized that I was a possibility and your parents had recommended me, you could have taken the effort to try to become closer acquainted with me through at least long distance. You could have tried messaging me or something. Mm-hmm. But we just didn't want to do that because of our stance on what we think is the way to approach marriage. That's supposed to be from Yahweh, it's supposed to be guided by God and not by what we feel like doing.
Right. And I think that's a big step, is that we want to be in His will. So we have to find out what His will is. And a lot of the times our emotions or our feelings will lead us not necessarily in the direction of His will. A lot of times we have desires that aren't directly in line with His will. Especially our desires are often not in timing with His will. I didn't want to end up making the decision to marry based on those feelings or those things that might not be in alignment with His will. And one of the easier ways to do that is to determine His will before the feelings get involved.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we look at it as a plus that we weren't really well acquainted mm-hmm. before. Because if we had been really close, then, which can happen, if we lived next door, even with our stance on not dating, we could have been very close friends.
Yeah, we could have been good friends.
So I was actually grateful that we weren't that close so that I could really hear from my parents and from God and not be clouded by, but I really do like him. I really do want to spend my life with him. You know, I can't imagine life without him. That's what they say. The recommendation in the Christian dating world is like, if you can't imagine living your life without this person, that's an indicator that you should marry them. I mean, not necessarily, because you can get attached to someone. I mean, captors get attached to their captives.
Yeah.
Captives get attached to their captors. It's not a sign that you should, you know, stay with them for life.
Yeah.
So just being, if we had been close friends, to me, that wouldn't have been an indicator that we were supposed to get married, therefore. So I was actually glad to not have that complication to be able to sort out what I should be doing, because it would have been easy to say no. In some ways, it was good that I was at that place where I could have easily said no, and it wouldn't have hurt my feelings or your feelings.
Right.
Now, I mean, not everybody has that. That just happened to be where we were at.
Yeah, one of my brothers was actually married someone that he'd known since he was 2 years old, also using this betrothal method.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a little bit more familiarity. They already had a good friendship, you know, a brother and sister in Christ relationship where they'd known each other for years and years that we didn't have. So it can be done either way. We can still follow these principles that the Bible teaches. And the main thing is that we don't take it beyond brother and sister until after we've made the covenant that makes us husband and wife.
I mean, that's what we were going for. And I know that a lot of people are not going to be used to that way of thinking about relationships.
Right.
We're so used to the secular method where not only are they attached to each other, but also sleeping together, that for Christians, it seems already to be, what do you call it? Conservative, it seems to them to already be taking the more cautious route to say, well, we're attached to each other and we're in love with each other, but we're not sleeping together, so we're already doing good there. And I think that they are, but still, I think we could be doing a little better about that.
Yeah.
My parents never actually gave me any rules that I wasn't allowed to date. I don't remember anybody sitting us down and saying, now here's the rules. We're not going to do this or that. It was more like a conversation where they pointed out the things they had done that they wish they hadn't done. We would read books and watching old movies about like Jane Austen novels, where back in the old days, people would sit around in the drawing room and have tea together. And then later the man would pop by to ask her to marry him, like after only two conversations. I started thinking, well, that's not so crazy. I mean, if you know from reputation that she's a good woman and you kind of liked her after one conversation, then why not get married? In some ways, it seems like we've made everything very, very complicated. They actually say now you have to date somebody for over a year before you should marry them. Why does it have to be that involved? The Bible doesn't act mm-hmm. like it's that involved. You have to be best friends before you can get married. There's all these rules now that the dating crowd seems to make that doesn't make any sense or match the biblical model that we see yeah. or history. For most of history, people didn't do that.
Yeah, for most of history, marriages were built from a lot of times other people choosing
mm-hmm.
who you're going to be married to.
Somehow now we can't do that, though.
But well, we don't have the character to do that. That's our...
or something. You have to ask, what is going on that we can't now just marry someone that our parent recommended? But I have this book by... it's called Single, Dating, Engage, Married by Ben Stewart, yeah. And he had a little description of what dating basically is so that I thought was pretty good. I mean, he doesn't necessarily recommend the path that we personally took to marriage, but he had a lot of good things to say, I thought, about examining the dating system and how it doesn't make sense. But anyway, this part I liked. It says, in our culture today, we want to create a separate interim category called We're Dating. We want to enter a sphere entitled Boyfriend and Girlfriend. What we try to communicate when we announce those labels is we're not just brother and sister, meaning like brother and sister in Christ, like it says in 1 Timothy. We want to be more than that. We are not married. We do not want to take on all of that weight. We are something else, a hybrid that gives us a certain responsibilities and affords us certain privileges. The other part says, there's only one problem. God does not recognize this status. You are either brother and sister or you're a husband and wife. There is no intermediate sphere.
Yeah, and that does sum up a lot of the same things that I was understanding and that we've come to have a better understanding on over the years, is that there's brother and sister in Christ and there's married. And when we're doing things that make it appear that we have gone partway from brother and sister in Christ to married, and we've handed out privilege, what we've actually done is we've handed out the privileges of marriage to someone who's not married. Whether that's a specific one-on-one friendship, whether that's, you know, cuddling, holding hands, whatever it is, you know, making a claim on this person, that is something that the Bible has as part of marriage. It's not good for a man to be alone is the very first reason for marriage to exist, is that companionship, that type of boyfriend-girlfriend, you know, relationship. Not just the physical, but the actual relationship is part of marriage. And when we hand that out beyond a brother and sister in Christ, beyond what we would do with someone who is who's of the opposite sex, who's married, like what would I do with my brother's wife if I do something beyond beyond what I would do with her as a brother and sister in Christ relationship? Then I'm taking on the privileges of marriage without having actually made the covenant of marriage, which is what is supposed to give us access to those privileges.
Mm-hmm. I know it almost seems like because of the way we do dating, it's gotten very unhealthy to where we think of marriage as being just the bedroom aspect of marriage, when it really is a lot. It's the whole companionship and stuff too. But because we've gone around giving away the companionship to people before that, we don't see that as being just something that belongs to marriage anymore.
Right. And the bedroom is a big part of marriage, but it shouldn't be all that marriage is. And that actually breaks marriages when we start thinking of it that way, when we start thinking of everything else I have here, including my emotions, isn't really part of this marriage, then we get what we call, you know, emotional affairs. We have relationships outside of marriage where we're investing our emotions and our attachment when it really should belong to our spouse. And so all of this builds up from this problem that we started trying to make something that was beyond brother and sister in Christ, but not marriage. And when we try to insert something there, like the author in this book also recognizes, even though he doesn't come to all the same conclusions we do, we can't have something that we're sliding in there saying, okay, now I have more privileges.
Mm-hmm. He says in this other part, this is another quote from Ben Stewart, because what you're trying to do is get the security and comfort, this is to the boyfriend, the security and comfort of locking her down, saying to the world, she is my girlfriend. But what does that mean? It means other guys can't have her. It means you have laid a certain claim on her. But under God, you have no rights over her. She can do whatever she wants. And that's the problem, too, is when people date, I don't think they often realize that you're now basically telling everybody else, can't pursue me. Sorry, I'm already taken. When it's not even true.
Yeah.
You're really just being friends.
Considering that while we're in these pseudo-relationships, we're actually missing out on the opportunity for someone who might be in it ready for a serious relationship. You know, so many of the dating relationships don't end in marriage, and all you've ended up doing is preventing maybe a serious candidate from being able to have access for a while.
Mm-hmm.
From being...
I mean, because men are discouraged from dating multiple girls at once.
Yes.
Which is actually kind of funny, because why? You don't have any rule that says you can't in the Bible.
If it really was just brother and sister in Christ, then it would be appropriate to do this with each sister, you know, a bunch of different sisters. But when we're saying no, that's not okay, it's because we're seeing this as something that's beyond brother and sister in Christ.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing it as something kind of like marriage.
Because
a lot of the things you do while you're dating, you would not do with women after you get married, which is suspicious. Because so if, let's say you do like a lot of guys when they're dating, and you take a girl out and you have a nice fun evening talking and stuff over dinner, and you do it just for fun, not over for business or something, I would not be okay with that as a married woman, and most married women wouldn't be okay. And yet somehow while you're dating, it's totally fine.
Totally fine to do that with someone that's not your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that is something that's supposed to be, you know, that's something that married couples should do. You know, they should be building their relationship.
Yeah, you have to do that with me. It's fine to do that.
I should do that. I should do that with Leela. If I was doing that with some other woman, that would be a big problem already. Everyone would recognize that.
We'd at least be suspicious. If people were just going out together to eat one-on-one all the time with men and women that they weren't interested in marrying, this is a normal friend activity, that would be fine. I don't have a problem with everybody going out to eat or spending a one-on-one time, you know, within reason. There has to be a little bit of caution about being alone together where no one can see you, because your reputation is important. But I don't have, like, these legalistic rules that you can't ever go and have a conversation with a girl or anything like that.
Right. It also can vary from culture to culture, and even from family to family, what is going to be what is going to be appropriate? And like I said, the best way I've come up with to say, is this appropriate or inappropriate, is would I do this with someone else's wife? Because adultery is very serious, but so is fornication. Fornication is also a problem. And so when we're taking something from marriage, you know, the companionship of a marriage, it's not good for a man to be alone, and getting it somewhere else, then it becomes a problem.
It's sometimes hard for singles to gauge what is actually part of a marriage relationship when they haven't been in one.
Yeah.
But you should be praying about it and listening to your conscience and asking older married people, like, hey, older married lady, do you think the way I act with young men is appropriate? You know, it's a hard question to ask because they might be brutally honest with you and say, no, I actually don't think it is. Yep. But you should practice humility about that. And the men, too. It's like, hey, Dad, what do you think about me messaging girls late into the evening? Is that something that I should be doing?
Mm-hmm. See, Speaking of parents, in the process, that's another thing that dating seems to seriously lack is any input from parents through the process. Yahweh gave us our parents. He personally picked them out for us. You have to consider that we were formed in the womb with these parents at his decree. These are very important people in our life. He tells us to honor our father and mother as one of the Ten Commandments. This is very important to remember that these people are in our life for a reason. And a lot of times we get to a certain point and we're like, okay, now I'm done with parents. Now I'm going to figure out stuff on my own. Now I'm going to even people that are saying, okay, now I'm going to follow God on my own. The thing is that part of following God is honoring your parents. Part of their purpose in life is to help you find the right paths. Whether, you know, when you're real small, they pretty much dictate the path for you. When you get older, they're going to be able to recommend and speak and confirm. That was one thing that I really liked about my story, is that my parents were able to confirm the same thing that I heard from the Father, that this is the right way to go. When you have multiple people, and especially someone who's not personally, they're involved because they want the best for you. Almost every parent in the world wants the best for their kids. They're involved, but they're not personally involved. And so their ability to hear from the Father is also going to be, you know, it's also something that they would like to do. And then you can have this whole a confirmation going on that you really are hearing from the Father. But in dating, a lot of times it's completely forgotten. If the parents are called in to get their approval, it's after the relationship is so deep that if the parents said no, I mean, they'd probably go ahead with it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not when you're that attached to each other, which is usually when they start introducing the parents.
Yeah, that's way too late in the process for parents to be involved.
To be involved effectively. The other book I read about dating called Boundaries in Dating by Cloud and Townsend. Sort of a offshoot of the Boundaries book, which I don't recommend, by the way, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
Anyway, he has a lot of things to say about dating, and one thing this book reveals very well is just how dangerous dating can be, because it just delves into all the kind of background problems that can come out of it, and all the kind of unhealthy behaviors it reveals. But anyway, the things he thinks that dating will do for you is, here's number one, dating gives people the opportunity to learn about themselves, others, and relationships in a safe context. Which I thought that was really funny, because like I said, the whole rest of the book is basically about how unsafe dating is.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly safe.
Can we not learn about relationships with other people in brother and sister status, father, you know, relating to our father and mother? Why do we need dating in order to learn how to be giving in a relationship?
What I see as a major problem with Christians, single Christians, is a lot of times they only socialize with a male or a female in a dating context. Yeah. They don't seem to know how to be just act like normal people with a man or a woman. Why can't you talk to a man when it's not about romance and not about trying to find me a spouse and stuff like that? They don't know how to interact as brother and sister, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think it would help if there were more things for the church, the people going to church, if there were more activities that were working for the kingdom, like handing out food to the poor and that kind of thing for singles to do together, where they would be acting more like a brother and sister.
Right. And in small groups, a lot of times you can have a lot of brother and sister interaction. Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least Bible studies.
Four, five, six people.
Yeah.
Those are, in families, that's what we have. We have, you know, four or five siblings getting together, a lot of families. And, and they can interact. And there's nothing personal between any particular two of them, but there's a lot gets learned about relationships in the process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, number two thing he thought it would do that dating is so very important for is dating provides a context to work through issues, which was really funny given that it's supposed to be a way for you to learn about yourself in a safe context. Okay, but while you're working through your issues, what's happening to the other person? Well, they have to deal with you working through your issues.
So it's one thing when you're in a marriage and one person has to work through issues.
You kind of have to stay
the other together. Person helps them through those issues. And yes, you have that, you know, the trauma of having to help them work through those issues. But this is your spouse. This is your lifelong partner.
You agreed to that.
Yeah, this is something that you're...
When you date, did you agree to help someone be a therapist to them or whatever?
Right. And that's where using someone else to fix yourself when you're not promising them your life, when you haven't already covenanted with them for life, isn't really fair to them. You're actually taking from them in the process when you try to do that.
Yep. Number three, he says, dating helps build relationship skills, which we kind of already covered.
Yeah, we pretty much covered it. Why only in dating?
Why don't you have other relationships? That's what I often wonder about people when they're like, how am I going to meet someone to marry then? Is what they often tell me when I say I don't really recommend dating. It's like, the only way you ever talk to people is by asking them on a date, because that's a little strange. Yeah. You should be involved in a church, you know, a group of the body of Christ. If you're a Christian, you should be involved with people. You're not just your family, let alone family. You should at least have them. And you can get married just through your family. Your parents can help you find someone. But anyway, you should be involved with other people doing real life stuff.
Yeah.
Yahweh doesn't want us to just sit in a basement.
Yeah, there's so many ways we can be serving the kingdom of singles that will automatically put us in contact with other believers.
It should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number four is dating can heal and repair. It's just kind of like a repeat of the number two, I think, but like you have issues that need to be fixed, and so it's going to heal you and repair you.
Well, I mean, there is something. It is healing to have someone love you despite your faults. But this is something that should be throughout the entire body of Christ. We should feel accepted to one another despite our faults. You know, we're supposed to confess our faults and repent, but we're also supposed to restore one another. And so there should be this acceptance and this love that flows in the body of Christ, that flows in our families, to where we don't need to go date someone in order to get that affirmation that we're looking for, that we're okay.
So maybe this is where...
We need it, number one, from God, and we need it, number two, from the body of Christ. So this could be more of a criticism against the body of Christ than dating in particular.
That's what I was going to say. This seems like it would be more of a call out to the church to be do a
to
better,
do better
job.
Do yeah. Better.
Why are you not helping people heal and repair? They have to go and try to find a girlfriend to make them feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
That's sad.
That is.
They shouldn't need that. They should have men in the congregation ready to come alongside them and be their friend. Five, dating is relational and has value in and of itself. I mean, that one was a little confusing to me, so I might have to read the explanation. But it says, so some people claim that dating is about self-gratification and stuff, but others just enjoy getting to know other people, and they give and receive in godly ways, just not in ways that can lead to marriage. So it's basically just talking about being friends, I guess.
Yeah, so if what we're doing is being friends, is being brother and sister in Christ, you know, it boils down to something that you can do with several people at a time.
Or even one-on-one.
With someone who's married. Even one-on-one, but someone who's married, several people at a time, mm-hmm. It's not something you're reserving for this person only, then you've got, that is relationship building, and that is the, a good thing that dating was extracted from.
Yeah, and that, when people talk about doing that, I go, well, then why are we calling it dating, though? If this is just about, I enjoy getting to know people, and we're being basically friends, then you are basically friends, so say friends. Me and my friend like to go bowling. And I really enjoy hanging out with them. Okay, why are you calling it dating? Because that just puts a weird relation, you know, romantic spin on it.
Right, yeah.
If it's, when it gets to the point where if it's not about trying to find a spouse, and it's not about having, you know, some kind of a romantic encounter, then stop calling it dating. Because, at least in my opinion, dating as a label means you're interested in each other in a romantic-ish way. So if you're not, then call it friends. Because you're just confusing people by saying you're dating. Six, dating lets someone learn what he or she likes in the opposite sex.
Is it important to learn what you like? Or when you eventually marry, do you think this person is going to have everything you like? when you marry according to God's will, not just, I picked out someone who is everything I liked, is this person going to change over time? How important is it really for us to say, this is what I like? And how important is it in reality when we're married to someone, there's going to be things we don't like. We're going to work through that. Yeah, probably.
Most of the time.
There's probably going to be something you don't like. Since we're living in a fallen world where there's sin, there's going to be something you don't like. Because sin has corrupted a lot of things.
That's true. There's even some things I don't like about you, maybe.
And just that's, a couple. That's incredible.
Just the sin part.
Yeah. Well, sin is not very likable, I'll give you that.
Yeah. You'll find something that's not likable in your...
And so you're going to come across this. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? If what you just said, okay, I figured out what I like, and what I don't like, mm-hmm. I discard. Then you've set up a whole problem, because you're going to encounter things you don't like in marriage, and your impulse is going to be to discard instead of to work through.
Well, especially if this becomes a habit. You go, every time I find someone who does something that I know is a sin that I don't like, I walk away.
Right.
Which is what you basically do in dating. That's what they recommend anyway. Like, okay, found a yellow flag or red flag, walk away.
And that's not going to lead to the skills for having a long-term marriage. That is, you know, finding out what you like. If you found that out after you were married, what you liked and didn't like about the other person, well, about men or women in general, if you found out after you were married, you're still going to have things you like and things you don't like. You're going to have to work through the things you don't like. It doesn't really do you any good to find out what you like through dating.
Well, especially if you find out this person, okay, I like this person a lot. This is exactly what I want. Too bad she doesn't want you. Or too bad God says not to marry her.
Yeah.
What good did that do you then? Now you're just setting yourself up for disappointment.
Well, you got any more?
Seven. Yeah. I think just one more. Dating gives a context to learn sexual self-control, another delay of gratification.
Okay, so this one is kind of funny to me because it's literally admitting that you're setting yourself up for sexual temptation with dating. So why?
Why would you do that?
You know, if Joseph was, you know, hanging out in Potiphar's bedroom, you know, fixing things in there as often as possible, we'd be like, okay, Joseph, this is not working well. This is not something you should be setting yourself up for. Sexual temptation will rear its head regardless of whether you set yourself up to practice it. You've got to be walking with the Father. You need to have a relationship with Him in order to overcome that kind of thing.
There's just way too many things to say about dating to try to cover it all in one episode. We have to come back and talk about it again. But the main reason we didn't date is it just doesn't match what we see as the biblical principles for how to approach male and female interaction that's not marriage. You know, where's the treating each other as brother and sister in Christ? Where's the guarding your heart with all diligence? Where's the listening to your parents? Where's the praying? There's a lot of emphasis on what you like and what chemistry you feel and all these details and all these man-made rules instead of listening to the Holy Spirit.
And for me, especially since I was going to make, and I think we all should, make the decision based on what does the Father want from me? What does my God want from me? I'll do that. Whether I like her or not, I'll love her because I'm commanded to. I'm going to walk out my faith by following what He asked me to do. And since that was going to be the only category, I didn't necessarily feel like I needed to get to know someone and figure out their ins and outs and decide if I like them or not, because that's not really going to matter. Ultimately, what the Father's will is for me is what I'm going to do. And I think if we set out with that mentality, dating does. It just stops making sense.
Yeah.
And that's why we didn't do it.
You can find all the information about that we've put on the internet if you visit our website, betrothalandwedding.com.
Yep, and search for Betrothal Guys. You'll find us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. Pretty much everywhere we've found to be, we're called Betrothal Guys. You can find our resources. Can read our testimony, watch our testimony.
Other people's testimonies, too. We're not the only people that are this crazy.
That's right. We're just the ones who tell everybody about it.
We're the most vocal.
Anyway, thanks for listening. And if you contact us and let us know that you liked it or what you didn't like about it, that could be helpful to us. So we can make more of these for you guys.